all very excited, I'm sure. I certainly am.
Doug, do the count.
Hello, Ed. This is Ed.
Hi, Ed. Ross.
We're live now.
Oh, are we live?
Yeah.
Doug BBS, are we live online?
You are live. Can you hear me?
All right, fantastic. Then I'm going to say welcome to everyone who's listening.
Since the beginning of time.
All right. Rock show listening to this. We are away from the hour. This is my name is. It is Monday, July the 27th, 2015. This show, gathering, whatever you call it, is organized by Winfrey, our dear friend. And tonight, we have a special guest. And I know he checked in already. His name is Ed McCabe. Good evening, Ed.
Hello.
Great to have you tonight.
Thanks. Good to be here.
All right. So we, at this point, we're still welcoming those people that are joining in through the conference line. Since this is a simulcast with a radio show and a conference call, we have a bunch of people on the phone line already and more people joining in. Those who came in the last minute, I welcome you folks. And if you want to, please say your name and location.
Terry in Boulder City.
Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
Welcome to the next caller. Please say your name and location.
Hey, it's Wynn.
Wynn, we welcome you.
Well, I welcome you.
Oh, thank you.
Now, is Ed McCabe on the line?
Yes, he's here with us. We are live on CBS Radio, and I believe Terry Brown also to be here. Hi, Terry.
Hi there.
All right, so we have a bunch of people here on live on the call, and those listening on through the internet radio. I thank you all. 6:01, Wynn, shall we just kick it off?
Let's go for it.
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
Right, and here we start recording.
This conference is being recorded.
Hey, is Clarissa here? Clarissa? Hello, Clarissa?
Sorry, Wynn, I couldn't hear you because I was muting the line. Say it again.
I'm unmute a second. I just want to see if someone's here, okay?
Hold on.
All callers are unmuted.
Is Clarissa here? Hello, Clarissa. Okay, not here. Thank you.
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
This is July 27th, 2015, and Wynn and Terry in Sedona, and Ed McCabe is our special guest tonight. Ed, where are you located?
Well, at the moment, can you hear me, first of all?
I hear you. I do.
Oh, okay, I thought I was muted. All right. I am calling you from upstate Massachusetts, where I'm camping.
I see. Camping?
Normally I live in Florida, though.
Uh-huh. Okay.
It's just too hot down there.
All right. Well, I have been... Let me tell you, this is a fairly unusual call with a fairly unusual group of people. And normally I don't have a guest, and Ed does not know what we do on this call. I'm not sure I know either, but it just started out. It's been going on for quite a few years, and I guess it comes under the banner of spiritual. You know, I've had this experience with Terry Brown. And you know Terry? Do you remember her? I think you met her.
I just don't remember.
Yeah. Where Terry has been channeling, and the voice that was talking to me said they were the Council of Elohim, and when I looked them up, it was a group soul that created the universe. That's what it said. I don't believe this, but they started doing miracles. They started predicting newspaper headlines. And people started discovering me. And we probably have, you know, a few hundred people coming to our calls regularly. And on our Wednesday call, people actually submit questions, and they give the answers. And on our Sunday call, we create a group energy, and they come into the group energy, and people can feel their energy. And we start putting intentions into the group energy. And oftentimes there's shifts in reality that are inexplicable that people give credit to for our Sunday call. And so there's people that come into our calls that have health issues. There's people that come in that are healers. We have an amazing group of people and a very loving group, and I am honored to present you to this group. And I've talked, you know, I try to find things that will help the people that are coming into our call. And
sure.
I've talked quite a bit about ozone. And it started out with me about 6 months ago when I called you, and I built my own little ozone generator because I thought it might be important to have one. Actually, it was about, I think, a year ago. Now, let me tell all of you that I know Ed McCabe probably for at least 30 years now. And Ed was at an expo where I had a booth. And I can't even remember what I was selling. But I know he was selling his book. And Ed, you single-handedly sold 250,000 copies of your book, right?
Yes, by word of mouth.
That's it. By word of mouth. Because he wrote a book about, it was called Oxygen Therapies. And it was about, mostly about ozone and how ozone was curing people of all kinds of health issues that were really severe. And it's still, not only was it not legal here, it was one of those products that they would put people in jail for, okay? And Ed, you did a lot of research to get your material, didn't you? You traveled all over the world.
I've traveled all over the world interviewing doctors using it, yes.
Yeah. How did you learn about ozone to get curious about it?
Well, in the 1980s, they told us we're all going to get AIDS and die. I don't know if you remember that. I do. There was no cure. It was spreads by sex. You're all going to get it. You're all dead. And I looked at it, this spiritually speaking, I looked at this and said, well, this is the dualistic universe. If one thing exists, its opposite must exist. So if there's an AIDS thing that's going to kill us all, there must be something that's going to save us all. And so I set off in pursuit of that. I said, the best way to do this is to interview doctors using very successful cutting-edge therapies that most people had never heard about. And mind you, this was pre-internet. This was before the internet. It's so much easier now. But back then, it was phone calls, letters, that sort of thing. And I asked them all one question. I said, what do you use that's the most effective for the most people, causes the least amount of harm? And the majority of all the doctors I was talking to, who were at that time the cutting-edge doctors that no one had ever heard of because there was no internet, they all said it was some form of an oxygen therapy. So then I started looking at that and saying, well, what is it about this oxygen? What is this, regular oxygen? No, it's not. It's singlet or beneficial active oxygen, which is different than the oxygen we breathe. And they're using this in medical devices. They're using it in injections. They're making lotions and liquids, chambers you put your body into, immerse your body in it. And they're using it every kind of way you could think of, and they were getting amazing results. But, of course, the established medical interest had no interest in something new. So I kept looking and looking, and I found out that these therapies have been in use for over 100 years. They predate all the medical associations, and they've been used and taught internationally in many countries. It's only in the United States that it's not taught in any medical school. It's only in the United States where a doctor will say, I've never heard of it. I don't know what you're talking about. If you go to someplace like Russia, they have teaching hospitals that teach this, the singlet oxygen, active oxygen therapies, specifically ozone therapy and others. Like one of the original ones was hydrogen peroxide. And there's a bunch of them now. There's any number of them, which is what my current book is all about, is all the old ways to oxygenate the body. So what I did was I went out and I interviewed everybody that I could find that was using some form of an oxygen therapy. Now, most of them were all saying, mine's the best, theirs sticks. You know, human ego at the fore there. They were saying that they had the best therapy. Nobody else had anything like it. And I started pointing out to all of them, the more of them I interviewed, that you're all using the same therapy and calling it different things. So that's when I decided to write the book, the first book, which was called Oxygen Therapies, A New Way of Approaching Disease. And then that's now turned into the updated 600, whatever it is, 44 pages book called Flood Your Body with Oxygen, Therapy for Our Polluted World. And so I took all these therapies I could find, analyzed them, researched them, interviewed the patients, interviewed the doctors all over the world, because in the United States, nobody knew anything about them. So that's why I wrote the first book, and that's why I was selling and sold, when you found me, 250,000 copies by word of mouth, is because it was a real dry spell. There was nobody teaching these things. They have been used by naturopaths in the 1920s, 1930s. You can find the history going back to 1900s. The early oxygen therapy started with Tesla and then grew from there and were used in the United States. And by the time of the Second World War, it had all moved overseas. Most of it was in Germany. The Germans just took off with this stuff. And so you had the finest ozone clinics in the world all over Germany. And so we went over there and bombed Germany, and we destroyed all the practitioners and all the clinics and whatever. That's not the reason for the war, but there was the result of having the war. And so the pharmacopoeia had like 5 pages on ozone therapy before the war, and after the war it shrunk to half a page. So there was...
Now, which war are you talking about?
So, say again, Whit?
Ed, you said before the war and after the war?
Yeah, the Second World War was decimating on the ozone therapist community. You had the majority of doctors in the United States had either gone with the AMA journal and become so-called legitimized doctors and made fun of everybody else, which meant all the ozone therapists, the naturopaths, the homeopaths, all these people using alternative therapies, hydrotherapy, water cures, that sort of thing, they were all discredited because they wouldn't advertise in the AMA journal. And so you had the American medical establishment with the Rockefeller money behind it establish itself as the premier only way to go is our way, medicine, and got rid of all the competition. And by the time the Second World War started, this problem of the disappearing therapists in our country was exacerbated by the fact that they cut off all diagnostic training in the war years where they needed doctors, a lot of them quickly, for the battlefields. So they got rid of all diagnosis, and a lot of that had to do with using natural therapies like ozone therapy, et cetera. So you had the Germans using it, and the United States citizens didn't know what it was. They were being told that drugs is the only way to go. And people were making billions and billions of dollars, of course, selling these drugs and discrediting every other therapy. So I had to do a lot of digging.
I had to do a lot of historical research. You could see the whole story of that with Eustace Mullins, his works. You looked them up, you'll same chapter and verse of who's and where the money went, everything, to boost up the AMA and destroy all other forms of medicine, which used to be normal here. Now we only have one type of medicine, and that's the only one that's so-called respected by the masses. But the actual mass consciousness of the people is advancing steadily. And because of the Internet, more and more people are deciding to do their own research and finding out that there's a whole world of therapies out there that are unknown, such as ozone therapy, such as peroxide therapy, such as all the products I saw. So it's there's a whole world out there to be discovered, folks, that it's things that the medical establishment will tell you that there is no cure. For example, let me give you a perfect example. I've been researching serrapeptase recently. Serrapeptase is a enzyme made by a silkworm. The silkworms make this enzyme. And there's a company in the Asia that processes this and sells it as artery cleaning pills, because this live natural enzyme, which is preserved and shipped over to us in pills, has the ability to find all organic matter in the body that's dead and to digest it. So that's a wonderful thing. You've never heard of that. The two main things that oxygen does, which is the basis of all natural healing, is number one, all diseases are caused by bacteria, viruses, funguses, and pathogens. And all the bacteria, viruses, funguses, and other pathogens that cause all the diseases are anaerobes. That means they're anaerobic. So if you've got all the microbes that cause all the diseases unable to live in oxygen because they're anaerobes, can only exist in the absence of oxygen, then what does that mean? That means if you have a special form of oxygen, you can give it to anybody. And whatever is infecting them or whatever the disease is that has any bacteria, viruses, funguses, and pathogens associated with it, those microbes will be destroyed when you put enough active oxygen into the body. And of course, this is what the Russians teach and they're teaching hospitals. The Germans, the Cuba has gotten rid of retinitis pigmentosa and sickle cell anemia, and yet the organizations in this country won't even look at it. And all you got to do is go to Cuba, and if you've got one of those things, you can find a doctor to treat you there. I've interviewed probably thousands by now, people with every disease you can think of, specifically cancer, AIDS, multiple sclerosis, all these so-called incurable things that you could only so-called manage with drug therapy, quote-unquote. Well, I've talked to all kinds of people all over the planet that simply don't have them anymore because they went out and they...
What was your experience with multiple sclerosis? Is ozone a absolute cure for it, or does it work for some people? I'm calling because I have a friend that thinks he has that.
Right. Well, I can't and won't say that anything's an absolute cure for anything because patient compliance is the biggest thing. Somebody will tell you, I'm doing ozone therapy, then you find out they did it once 2 months ago, and they did it next time they do it is a month away. You know, that's not ozone therapy. But they'll think it is, and they'll tell everybody that's what it is because that's what they believe. So you have to really quantify each case what's going on. I have seen amazing recoveries by people who had multiple sclerosis. Now, interestingly enough about multiple sclerosis is that I went to Australia, and there was an MS expert there lecturing, a doctor at one of the health fairs that I was lecturing at. And he wrote up on the board, here's the 14 causes we know that cause multiple sclerosis. And I looked at the board, and I looked at all the things that he said caused it, and I said, well, oxygen would fix that, 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 that, and that. So all the things that he said were the cause were already covered by the wide spectrum bioseptic, you might say it, or sterilization action of active oxygen when applied to the human body. Whatever it was, if it was an obstruction, it will simply dissolve it.
If it's an anaerobe, it will simply make it so it can't live because it can't live on oxygen. So it's really very simple. And when given correctly and applied perfectly, there are no side effects. There is none because it's nature's oxygen. It's the ozone from the atmosphere where the lightning strikes in the upper atmosphere. You get a rainstorm and you smell that clean smell afterwards. Well, that's ozone. That's nature giving ozone to you and your environment to clean up the environment, to clean you up. And that's really what it is, because when the doctors put a form of active oxygen into the body, they're simply destroying all the things in there that can't live in active forms of oxygen. It's that simple. And the second thing it does, besides getting rid of all the anaerobes, the second major thing that active oxygen does, and ozone is a form of active oxygen, the second thing it does is it detoxifies the body. Now, what we're finding, the more research I do, even this year I've been looking at a lot of this, is that it's actually particulate matter that plugs us up at the microscopic level. And then that starts plugging us up at the micro blood vessel level, let's call it. And then that starts plugging us up further at the capillary level. And then when you get even more and more plugged up from there, you get major things going wrong with the body where the body doesn't get, like in a stroke or something, you know, the body doesn't get the oxygen it's supposed to get, and so you have tissue death because of it. Now, one of the ways to prevent a lot of that from happening is to do a lot of oxygen therapy, to keep doing it, because we're so polluted now. The world is so polluted. You have to keep doing that to keep yourself clean. Otherwise, all this particulate matter piles up. Let me give you an example. Under each tooth, you have 300 miles of microtubules. That's how tiny these little channels are, these little microscopic channels, 300 miles under each tooth. Now, if they start to plug up, if you start to get particulate matter left over from your food, your air, your water, your preservatives, colorings, flavorings, all these things that don't belong in your body, you put it in. The body doesn't know what to do with them. It can't digest them, so it starts stuffing them places. Well, it takes active oxygen therapies to go in and actually clear it all out. You've got to actually clear all that out. Otherwise, it just keeps piling up and piling up and piling up and piling up and piling up. This is your lifetime we're talking about. So as you get older and older, everybody prematurely ages. They prematurely slow down. They prematurely have sore spots. They prematurely can't digest their food. They prematurely have digestive problems, flatulence, all kinds of things that are completely preventable if the body actually was able to keep itself clean. And now the problem is, of course, that the body doesn't have enough availability of oxygen to keep itself clean. We find that the ancient atmosphere, the Cretaceous era, was hypothesized to be around 38% oxygen. Well, today, they tell us it's around 21%. So we've got approximately half the oxygen we were designed to run on. Our physical bodies were designed to run on that higher level of oxygen back when our ancestors were created and all that. And so those bodies are now operating at half of their efficiency, half the ability to clean themselves out, which is what the active oxygen does, and half of the ability to kill all the anaerobes that are infecting our human bodies. So we're under this, really it's like a rule, supplement or die. I mean, that's really how I look at it now, especially when you have the chemtrails, Fukushima, the stuff, the radiation of the water, all that stuff going on. Well, all of that directly relates to what I'm talking about, the body's inability to clean itself out and to get rid of its anaerobes because it's overwhelmed with trying to clean itself out and yet having only half the oxygen necessary to clean itself out. So that's why supplementation is important.
I have a question. Why is it that ozone destroys things that are bad for you, but not things that are good for you in your body? In other words, I know out of the body, ozone will connect with rubber. It'll destroy it. You know, it'll do, you know, in higher concentrations. Why is it when it gets in your body, it only destroys bad things?
Well, you have to look at the composition of the cells, first of all. Each cell, if it's healthy, that's really the key here. How do healthy cells protect themselves from what you're describing as lipid peroxidation, or the burning up of the cellular envelope by an active form of oxygen? This is where all the people that get into their free radical nonsense think they've got a leg to stand on, because they look at this half of a process and they say, oh, I know what it is, I know what it is, and they run off and write papers on it. PhDs graduate with, you know, being experts on it and all that. But it's all nonsense. The way it works is a normal, healthy cell produces lipoproteins. And this lipoprotein is an envelope. Each cell coats itself. Picture, I used to say this years ago at the radio show, picture yourself, each of your cells has a raincoat on. It makes its own raincoat, then it puts it on. That is the antioxidant enzyme system in your body protecting normal, healthy, living cells from being hurt by sick lead oxygen. Now, the cells that can't make healthy, shiny raincoats, in other words, cells that are diseased, weak, feeble, diseased, or dying, these cells cannot make a lipid peroxidation coating that protects them from oxygen, because the body expects to have cygnet oxygen in it. The body actually makes hydrogen peroxide. The body in the neutrophils actually makes forms of ozone. Not many doctors know this, but the literature is out there proving it. So the body's natural process is to use oxygen, turn it into active forms of oxygen, and then kill all the microbes and clean itself out. The problem, again, gets back to there's too much filth, there's too much debris, there's too much particulate matter, there's too much pollution, there's too much being put into our environment by our industrialized society without caring of what they're doing to the environment. And so the environment is getting filled up with garbage, and that garbage is suppressing our ability to get oxygen, or even the oxygen we get is pretty much electrically weakened by being in contact with so much pollution that it's drawn off a lot of the strong photonic energy of the sun and is supposed to be in all the oxygen. So you've got a situation where the body is trying desperately to keep up and stay up. It's trying to make its antioxidant coating on its cells. And so in that environment, if it can do it, it does it properly. Those cells all are just naturally protected from ozone bothering them, cygnet oxygen, ozone, active forms of oxygen. It simply bounces right off a normal, healthy cell. If a cell is diseased, like a cancer cell, a cell with a disease in it, a virus, whatever, these diseases hijack the inner mechanisms of the cells so they no longer can make their coating. They can no longer protect themselves. That's where these disease cells become vulnerable to being burnt up when you put ozone into the human body. Now, of course, you can't breathe it in at high concentrations because your lung tissues are too delicate. So that moves us towards sublimitation and clinical use of the active oxygen therapy. So the way to really stay healthy is to supplement active forms of oxygen into your body on a daily basis, and to keep supplementing it as you go along through life. And you'll find what I've seen is an indicator. People that do this, they report to me they don't get sick anymore. They no longer get colds. They no longer get the flu. They no longer get all sorts of things that everybody else in school has got. They don't get it. Their kids don't get it. It's because they're supplementing with this magical thing called nature's oxygen during the day, during their lives. So they're keeping their oxygen levels up to that level which they were designed to run at, which is closer to around 38% oxygen, rather than the supposed 21% we're supposedly have, but really don't, because it's much lower than that. So these are the people I see being healthy, people that take supplements of oxygen and plant minerals, because that's what you build yourself with, is your minerals. And if you have a full complement of plant minerals and a full complement of supplemental oxygen going into you daily, according to every interview I've done with thousands of people all over the world, those people are the healthiest and happiest people I've ever seen.
Let me ask you a question and run by some different things that you've seen ozone work for. What I want to make sure I get into this talk with Ed is two things. One is the things that ozone has worked for, and two is how do you take ozone? How do you get it into your system? Because I studied this, and I know there are ways that you can do at home, all kinds of ways, and then there's ways that you can do in a clinical situation. And sometimes the home remedies can be quite effective. Not as good as clinical. In other words, if you had something like cancer, you might be able to get rid of it with a home remedy, but I would certainly suggest clinical. And people can't say that ozone cures anything, but it is legal for in certain states for doctors to use it, yes?
Yes, that's correct.
Mm-hmm. But they can't say it's good for anything, right?
Right. No, nobody can make a claim for anything curing anything.
Yeah.
Because you simply can't. That's not a reality. You can't say this one thing will cure everybody. That's never going to exist. The main thing being patient compliance. Will the patient actually mm-hmm. stick with it and do it correctly? Chances are no.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But let me name some problems. Cancer.
Okay, that's the number one thing that I ran into. Because most people at the time, this was the 80s, they were people that were sent home to die, who then looked around and found an ozone practitioner or got their own machine and learned how to give it to themselves. And these were the people that were alive 5 and 10 years afterwards. These are the people, the first people I interviewed. I said, well, this is amazing. This is impossible. There's not supposed to be a cure. And they'd just sit there and smile at me.
Now, were there people on cancer that were doing it at home and curing themselves? Like drinking ozonated water, for example. Have you ever seen people that drunk ozonated water and got rid of their cancer?
Well, I heard a story about a guy. I knew a lot of people that were drinking ozonated water. The problem is, once they get well, they don't look you up and say, hey, guess what happened? They don't tell you. They just disappear mm-hmm. into the woodwork again. So mm-hmm. I heard one story of one of the distributors of one of the oxygen supplements in England was telling me this guy had stomach cancer, and he was drinking ozonated water all the time, and his stomach cancer went away. Now, that's not the same as me saying it'll cure anything. I'm just saying, you know, my constitutional right to tell you a story I heard, that's all. But I'm warning you, see your healthcare physician if you got a serious disease. Hopefully one skilled in the oxidative modalities and who knows all about detoxification.
Now, how about people that had cancer that did insufflation? For those of you that don't know what insufflation is, this is a probably, as I've studied this, the strongest way of getting ozone into your system. Although I've not tried it yet because it's a little bit distasteful. But basically, the colon is the greatest organ of assimilation for gas. And if you put a little tube and put ozone up your rear end, it's very powerful in healing things. And Ed, has that been something that you've heard has healed cancer or AIDS or hepatitis or any of those kinds of things?
Well, the whole point of rectal insufflation is in the old days, back before they had syringes, they used to do implants. And one of the ways they would get specific herbs or whatever into someone is they would put them into the rectum, and just like our food, they would be absorbed through the colon wall, which has miles and miles of blood vessels all around it, right there to absorb the nutrients and let out the waste. And so they would clean that whole area up with an active form of oxygen, and then that active form of oxygen would usually get into, like, the portal vein. Then the portal vein would fan out into the liver, and then the liver would have all sorts of cleansing going on because the ozone would go up into that area, and the liver is basically a filter as well as a generator of hormones and things. But as a filter, it's collecting all the garbage from the human body and detoxifying it, trying to get it out, move it out. Again, when the system becomes overloaded, let's say someone drinks every day, they smoke every day, they're doing pot, heroin, coke, whatever, all that is overriding your immune system. All that is killing your immune system. So one step down from that type of person, you have the person that, toxins, who cares, chemicals, who cares, give me more of them. Last person I heard say that, he's in a grave now. But you have to really look at, how does your body work? There's a saying, to make it very, very simple for you, every food choice you make, every medical choice you make, you simply say to yourself, the closer I am to nature, the healthier I will be. The further away I am from nature, the more diseased and sick and tired I will be. It's that simple. So every choice you make, you look at what you're about to put into your body. Is this a natural substance? Is it a drug? Is it a chemical? Is it some sort of man-made creation in a laboratory? Or did nature spend thousands and thousands of years selecting the best version of that and delivering it to you in the form of a fruit or a vegetable? So you have to look at that sort of thing. Keep out, my friend Dr. Freebot always says, he calls them exogenous carcinogens. In other words, the things in your environment, the food, the air, the water, anything around you or that goes into you, if it's a carcinogen, you don't want to put it in your body. If it causes cancer, it's the type of thing you want to keep out of your body so that your body doesn't get and become cancerous. Cancer is really a defensive disease. It's when the body's environmental terrain, the background of the human body, is supposed to be clean and pure. Remember, the closer to nature, the healthier. The farther away, okay, well, farther away from nature means polluted. It means coal tar, dyes, preservatives, burn extenders on your cigarettes, whatever. All these things don't belong to the human body. And if you keep putting them into the human body, because of all the environmental toxins we're faced with now, you're not going to do so well. That's just the way it is. When I started out, we were hearing the results of people in the 50s that were doing the oxygen, the ozone therapies, and they were getting rid of major, major diseases in about 3 weeks' time. It took about 21 days of, let's say, ozone intravenous therapy, where that's where they put medical-grade ozone directly into the bloodstream. And since there's no air involved, there's no embolisms at all. And by doing this type of therapy, which has been around for about 100 years, Tesla was doing it back before the turn of the century, then we find that that is a way to get the active oxygen directly into the bloodstream, and then it fans out from there. Wherever you put it into the body, that is the spot where the ozone will start detoxifying or pulling out the hydrogen bonds of all the pollution, of all the toxins, of all the anaerobes, all the diseases, all the mycotoxins, the fungi, everything you can pick up. These oxygen therapies, when you get enough of them in you and you take them long enough, you'll find that because it's nature, all you're giving yourself is nature, even though it's called standard medical therapy in Germany and Russia and Cuba and not taught in American medical schools. It's still nature that's being put back into the body. That nature is what our whole environment, the sun, the lightning, is all set up to clean our environment, to clean us, to clean our environment. And so people said, well, I could drink it, put it into oxygen, this single out oxygen, put that into water, drink it. Well, that's one way of getting it. Then they said, well, what about if we inserted it into the anal opening? Because the anus is set up to absorb. We know we've done implants and herbs, you know, for a couple centuries now. What if we did that? Sure enough, they started to have success, a lot of success with that, with all kinds of things. Then they said, well, what if we were to go more directly? And so they decided they would try injecting it directly into the bloodstreams. And what do you know? They had success. The butt went done correctly. It's got to be done correctly under the care of a licensed physician or a homeopath or a naturopath that is licensed to do this sort of thing. You got to know what you're doing.
When was the first time they did injections?
Well, the closest thing we can come to that was the Indian Gurkhas. I think it was around, oh, I don't remember the date, when, I'm sorry, but it was written up in the British Medical Journal, The Lancet. And they had these Indian Gurkhas who were dying from the plague. They were just dropping like flies. This was like 1928, somewhere in there. And they said, well, these people are all going to be dead by morning. We know that hydrogen peroxide is a sterilant. We use it to clean things here in the lab. What if we were to take this sterilant and actually put it into their body? And so the doctors in the medical journal, The Lancet, the British doctors, they started injecting it into a few of their Gurkhas that were going to be dead by morning. And they all fell asleep, sweated profusely, woke up, brushed themselves off, and went home the next day. And that was all written up in The Lancet. You could find that.
That was so, hydrogen peroxide, right?
That was right, because peroxide is water, H2O, H2 plus O1. So it's single out oxygen. And let me give you another perfect example of how this works. This is all nature again, folks. We're just talking nature here tonight. If you were to take vitamin C, okay, Linus Pauling did a lot of work on vitamin C, the intravenous use of vitamin C, et cetera. Well, they found there was a tolerance limit where the body would reject any more vitamin C. Well, the recent breakthroughs in the past couple of years is people have been getting rid of Ebola virus in a day, 2 days sometimes, by giving them intravenous peroxide every hour. Well, since then, they found that by switching to a liposomal, L-I-P-O-S-O-M-E, liposomes, a liposomal form of vitamin C, they take vitamin C and they coat it, they mechanically coat it with basically sunflower seeds. Some are made with soy. I don't like soy. But the sunflower seed variety, which is sold at Oxygen America, that is got a whole bunch of clinical studies behind it. And it's just like anything else in our society. Things have to become well-known, then they become popular, then they become famous, and then there's change. Well, liposomal vitamin C is right at the beginning of that process, and they see that it's really increased the bioavailability of vitamin C. Now, why is that important? With the secret to the whole thing, and not many people know this, the people listening to the show tonight are very lucky. If you were a billy goat, and you were a billy goat, you weighed about 150 pounds, you would naturally make in your body 10 grams, at least 10 grams of vitamin C a day. Now, the FDA says, oh, we only need 60 milligrams. You know, so 60 milligrams compared to 10,000 milligrams, it's a whole different story what nature is doing versus what the bureaucrats say we need. And so what about man? Does a man make vitamin C? No. We're in a subgroup of genetic called haploids, I believe it is, where the billy goat and dogs have wet noses. We don't have wet noses. We have dry noses. And that indicates that we lost in our genetic lineage going way back. We lost the ability to make vitamin C. So the billy goat can still make it, a dog can still make it, but humans can't make their own vitamin C. Now, why is that important?
because, as Dr. Charlie Farr, Charles H. Farr, MD, PhD, biochemist, told me personally, he says, Ed, do you know what the body does with vitamin C? I said, no, Charlie, tell me. He says, well, once it gets above your daily needs, we figure, okay, let's look at a billy goat, 10 grams a day. Your daily need is 10 grams of vitamin C a day, spread out all during the day. Once you get that satisfied, what do you think the body does with that vitamin C? I says, I don't know. But I bet you it's got something to do with why Linus Pauling was saying megadose, 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 and winning the Nobel Prize for advocating megadose vitamin C therapy. He says, that's right. What happens is the body turns all the extra vitamin C it gets into hydrogen peroxide. It stores it in the body fluids. So Linus Pauling was right. The reason, he didn't know why he was right, and his own wife died of cancer, even though he was megadosing her all day long, they didn't have the liposomal form of vitamin C at that time. So the best they could do,
so
the body would only...
That's been clinically proven, yes, that vitamin C you're talking about?
Say that again, Whit.
That's clinically proven that it works.
Oh, yeah. You go on to several websites. They'll tell you all about how the vitamin C absorption is greatly increased when you make a liposomal form, and it not only goes up to a higher level, it lasts hours and hours longer in the body than any other form of vitamin C. And that's why you have these doctors coming back from South America, let's say, and saying that they were routinely treating Ebola with vitamin C in these other countries and getting rid of it. Because Ebola, if you actually look at what it is, it's an advanced form of scurvy. Ebola is scurvy on steroids. What's scurvy cured by? It's vitamin C. Everybody knows that. So what you do is when you have someone with Ebola, you increase their vitamin C intake. And using the liposomal form, you can do that. Otherwise, the body will push out what it needs, but it just can't absorb it. Just
now, I know there's people thinking, how do I get that liposomal vitamin C? What is it? What is it called? Is this called liposomal vitamin C?
Liposomal vitamin C.
Write that down, guys.
You can get it on Amazon. There's lots of different people that make it. Oxygen America sells it. If you look for the best ones will have the highest ratio of vitamin C per what it costs you per ounce. And also, you'll be looking for the ones made with sunflower seeds, not soy.
Mm-hmm.
So there's different ones, and that's what you want to look for. And these are highly recommended for people to try out. It's not mainstream medicine yet, but if you look on YouTube, if you look up liposomal, L-I-P-O-S-O-M-A-L, liposomal vitamin C, and you look up some of the doctors that have been using it in clinical situations with Ebola, with cancer, with all other sorts of things, they have nothing but glowing reports about it. Of course, in this country, they'd say, just like with those, they'd say, well, we don't know of any studies. Of course, you say, well, have you looked? They never answer that question. Have you actually looked for any?
So this is a way of getting ozone into your system, then, fairly economically, right? And that has the potential to have mega results for serious situations. I mean, if it got rid of Ebola, then it might get rid of cancer and hepatitis and AIDS and all the things that ozone works for. Am I right?
I say, let's do the studies. Let's prove it. I mean, there's so much anecdotal evidence out there. Well, let's do the studies. But no drug company is going to fund a study on a natural substance. They just don't do that. So the study
because they can't make money on it. But you have anecdotal evidence. You've seen evidence that it works. Okay, right?
Yeah.
That's just what I wanted to get out. So that's a very easy way to get exposed to ozone. At ozone.
Well,
ozone. Ozone also is used for air purification. And
yes.
So I have, you know, I've read that in certain situations, people are checking out chemtrails and taking air samples of stuff that comes from chemtrails and finding various viruses. And I know.
Oh, yeah, they're finding blood, barium, aluminum, blood products, nanobots, all this crazy futuristic engineering stuff in the chemtrails. Now, that's one of the reasons nobody is healing in 3 weeks anymore. Now it's more like 4, 5, 6 weeks before they get their cleansing reactions and start cleaning up, because they're so toxic. And people are just, you know, dropping like flies because it's so bad out there now.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But I'm all for let's streamline this process, because it's too dangerous not to. I mean, we don't have the time to spend billions and billions of dollars doing studies and animal studies and this study and that study, because there's been millions of dosages given to humans already in Germany. All you have to do is go to Cuba, go to Russia, go to Germany. There's millions of people that have been getting ozone therapy, active oxygen therapy, millions of them. So we don't need this bureaucratic logjam, so to speak. Let's help the people. Let's help the people get well. That's what the point is.
Somebody is listening who's thinking, I have a serious problem. I'm scared. I want to go to a doctor that does ozone therapy. How much might they have to spend with that doctor to get treated, since the insurance is not going to cover it?
Some insurances actually do allow you to use natural therapy. That's something I do want to bring up. I've had insurance companies call me and say, you know, tell them, I can't remember the name now, but, you know, let people know there are policies out there that you can actually choose your therapies. So that's opening up. And at the same time, we have a situation where people are discovering supplements. You know, I designed a whole line of supplements that Oxygen America sells. And I know you've got a ozone air purifier that fits into the air vent on a car, so that whenever you're driving your car in an area that's pretty polluted or whatever, that ozone is helping your body break down the things in the air before they even get inside your body. So there's all these different ways to do it. There's supplements. If you could find a doctor who's trained in it, who knows how to do it, and all you have to do is look on the internet, go look ozone therapist. And depending on the state, you may be able to find a naturopath or a homeopath or a medical practitioner that will actually do some of these things. Some groups are against intravenous use of ozone because of the Europeans' influence. The Europeans said, no, we're making plenty of money the way it is with all these bags and stuff, and we don't need to do direct IV. It's harmful. It's not. If you actually follow the real protocols for direct IV, long before you give someone direct IV, you're going to figure out they're too weak to get it. So that's more like a political stance.
These are the two doctor ways of getting ozone. One is IV, and one is that autohemotherapy? Is that what IV is?
Well, autohemotherapy is you take blood out of one arm, you put it in a bottle above the bed, you bubble ozone into the bottle, that turns the blood bright cherry red, and then you drip it back into the arm, hopefully filtering it before you put it back in. That's one way. It's effective, very safe, and very slow. It's a long treatment time. It's expensive because you got to keep doing it over and over and over. And the assorted plastics and tubing and all that stuff you don't run into with direct IV. Direct IV is the most simple way to do it, but you really got to know what you're doing. You just can't be some cowboy just shooting everybody up. You know, you just can't be doing that. And then the actual best method of all is the ozone therapy, where you take blood out of one arm, you circulate it through an ozonizer, and then you put it in the other arm. So it's a continuous loop type process. I named this process recirculatory hemoperfusion, or RHP. Recirculatory, it circulates outside the body, back into the body. Hemo, that's the blood. Perfusion, you're putting ozone into the blood. You're perfusing the blood with it. That's been used all over the world with the highest success rates of all.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever's going on with you, that is the creme de la creme of ozone therapy. But you won't find that in the United States.
Now, Ed, what do you recommend for just a healthy person for preventative measures? What should I do?
Well, the best thing is if you're already healthy and you don't have anything seriously wrong with you, is to start increasing your daily oxygen uptake and your plant mineral uptake. So you want to have a form of singlet oxygen and plant minerals every day, because those are the basis of life itself. Oxygen is what gives you your energy, your cleansing, and your immune system. They all run on oxygen, and the actual building of your body, that's from minerals. Your body is an accumulation of minerals that you got from the food you ate, which is how you grew up into this nice, tall human being rather than a little baby. That's the accretion of the minerals, and I'll put them all in the right place. That's how you get big. So you want to return to nature. Nature is a case of getting back to getting extra oxygen into your body on a daily basis. I have a number of products. One of them is called OxyLift. There's OxySulfur. There's Super OxyFlush. These all deliver singlet forms of oxygen into your body.
How about oxygen water?
Oxygen water is a great thing. If you could get oxygen into water, the problem is oxygen doesn't want to stay in the water. It wants to jump out. So it has to be freshly ozonated. Again, not O2, but O1, singlet oxygen, freshly ozonated, and imbibed immediately before it gets a chance to jump out of the water.
So if I happen to be given a bottle of oxygen water yesterday produced by Langenberg in Oregon, does that need to be drank within a certain time limit?
I'm not familiar with that particular process, so
okay.
I can't comment on that.
But is oxygen water, or are there different kinds?
Well, there's a lot of people selling things that aren't really what they say they are, so I'll just say that. I don't know what that is. It could be the best one there is. I don't know. Never heard of it.
I know, you know, we have a little ozone machine, and I might come up with one to make available to our group that's cheap, where we can oxygenate water with it, and it works. I can feel the energy of the water. And,
yeah, that's a great idea. Well, nature's trying to do that.
They are on the market. They happen to talk to Ron tonight before the call, and his neighbor has one, and it works miraculous, he says.
You know what? It's 6:58. We're going over. BBS has another show coming on now. Thank you, BBS, if you haven't cut us off yet. Ed, what's your website? I put it up on the email I did today, but what's your website?